Welcome, Harpers. We're so glad you guys are here visiting with us. We miss you. This is still home. You know, this has been a great journey this month on prayer. And just kind of review in case you missed one of those Sundays. The first Sunday was about what is prayer? You know, that is that talking with Jesus, that relationship, making that daily appointment. You know, for most of us, that daily appointment works best for our day, for our life, if it is first thing, if we before we let anything else come in front of that. I know, though, for me, there were two different seasons in my life that didn't work at all. First, when both Ashley and Joel were little, Joel didn't sleep that first year. He hardly slept at all. And that didn't work for me to have a quiet time the first time. So I had it during nap time. Ashley didn't nap at that time, but she still had to be on her bed, horizontal time, quiet rest time. And I would have that. That was my uninterrupted time with Jesus because it was the only time that worked. And then when Caleb was a baby, Joel still didn't sleep. And, yeah, I figured I went about 7 years before I got, with sleep deprivation, before I got a solid night's sleep. It didn't matter how early I set that alarm to get up in the morning. Somebody was always up. It was just like, okay, God, I am really working. I'm trying. I tried nap time. That didn't work because Joel didn't sleep. And I shared this with the ladies last year at Thrive, that I was like, God, I'm desperate. I'm trying. Where do I? And I said, show me, God. And he started waking me up in the middle of the night. And I would get up. Without a baby, I mean, additional time waking up, and I would pray and read the word, and it would just be us, and that was the time, because I was saying, God, I don't know what else to do, and he gave me that, and I was like, thank you, God, and when we're that serious, he's going to make sure for you, too, that he helps you create that time. So, the next Sunday, the second Sunday, we learned about the ACTS model of prayer. We practiced it together, right? Do we remember that? Okay, let's try. A, what was A for? You guys got it. Adoration, praising our mighty God. And the next was C, confession, asking for those forgiveness, those things that we need forgiven of. T, oh, so much to be thankful for. And then finally, S. Application. You guys got it. Yeah. Whoa, good job. Those needs, taking then those needs. And last week, the need we had to focus on Jesus. You know, don't let those things pull us away from that time. We need to come with right motives and that we're spending time with Jesus. It's not just about getting our list fulfilled and telling God how we want it done. And I know Pastor said, you know, we need to practice and persevere in prayer. And I was like, yeah, I really like that. Practice and persevere in prayer. We need to keep coming to Jesus with our needs, but we also need to make sure that we're making things right with God and others. And it was, I know Pastor shared about someone he needed to make something right with. Well, a couple weeks prior, God had given me someone as well from my past that had an offense against me. And he told me, I needed to go and apologize. And I was like, that was like 15 years ago, God. And honestly, I don't remember what it was about. And he said, doesn't matter. She had offense against you. You need to. So I wrote an apology note. Thankfully, today it's much easier to find addresses and all with modern technology. And I knew on my part I needed to make it right because he told me if I didn't, it was going to put this hindrance in stopping me from having a closer relationship with him. And I was like, oh, no, I don't. I want to get closer to you, Jesus. We need to do what it means, what it takes to be right with God and with others. And if you're here today and you're not right with God, he's here to meet you. And he wants you to know it's not too late. Nothing you've done is too bad. Everything can be forgiven. He loves you. And it's not a mistake you're here today. So as I have been praying how to end this series on prayer, I was like, wow, things have really been covered very well, God. What else? We've had the focus. We've had the relationship. We've had all of this. And God kept bringing one thing to mind, is that prayer is also a weapon. It's a weapon against the enemy. God has given us great power to defeat the enemy. Now, the enemy is not that coworker who wants to kind of mess things up for you, or that person at school that, you know, that doesn't like you, or no, that is not really our enemy. Our enemy is Satan, the devil. He wants to destroy you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, we must have balance. Don't go overboard here. There's not a devil behind everything that happens. It was not a demon that made that car pull out in front of you and cut you off. You know, that was either they honestly didn't see you or it was bad human judgment. You know, there's not, okay. Like I said, we need balance. We don't go casting out demons out of everyone and everything. Okay, well, I've seen that, so I want to be sure. You know, but the enemy wants to destroy our relationship with Jesus. But one of our greatest weapons against that is prayer. And so today we're going to take a little journey and see how to use that mighty weapon against the enemy of our soul. Last week, Pastor talked a little about perseverance. Excuse me. And he used the story from Luke 18 of the persistent widow who did not give up, who kept coming back, even though the judge did not care about God or man, but he finally gave her justice because she kept coming. We live so much in this instant society. We want it now. No, we wanted it 10 minutes ago. We want our answers now. We want our food now. We don't like to wait. It almost seems like people, they probably aren't, but it almost seems like we're conditioning people to be less patient than before. You know, we can't wait for the next light. We have to run through the red light, you know. We have to get there. Well, this week at school, we're in the middle of our lesson. I have a student jump up and run over to her bag and pull out her phone. And I said, stop. My mom's calling me. Okay, the rule is, this is all in elementary school, the rule is the phones are not supposed to be out at any time. They aren't even supposed to be on. They can't even have them out at lunch. And they have to be put away. Yeah, I missed your smartwatch. Won't miss it this week. So she jumps up to answer it, and I'm like, no, put it down. Go sit down. About 2 minutes later, she jumps up again, runs over, and starts texting. I said, stop. Put the phone away. Well, it's my mom. I said, if it's an emergency, she will call the school, and they will call you to the office. So sure enough, a few minutes later, my classroom phone rings, and it's the front office asking for the student to come to the office, which I send her along her little way. And pretty soon, she comes back in my room, she gets her phone, and leaves to go back to the office. Okay, so what was this emergency that could not wait 20 more minutes for school to end? Because I went to find out. Obviously, it must have been something pretty important. Yep. Her high school brother had forgotten his key and he was locked out of the house. This was Thursday. You know when it was 70 degrees and beautiful out? Not 110, not 30, not raining, just really nice. Really nice out. I was like, really? He couldn't wait 20 minutes? My kids, we talked about that this week, how long they had to wait if they forgot their key. All of them got stuck at some point because they forgot. You know, the student lost over 15 minutes of instruction, disrupted my class 5 times because they could not wait. Wow. Yet, prayer doesn't work that way. God's not some genie that gives us our every whim as soon as we ask. And sometimes there's just other forces at work. You know, we might, for example, other people's free will comes into play sometimes. We might be praying for God to provide that house for us, for that house for us to buy. But that house God has for you has to be put on the market. And if the people that are supposed to sell that house are refusing to sell it at that time, it may mean you have to wait. Doesn't necessarily mean God isn't answering your prayer. And it doesn't necessarily mean no. You know, when we're praying for our loved one's salvation, God wants everyone to be saved. But they still have that free choice. We're going to pray for them. We're not going to give up. It doesn't mean that's a no. I want us to look at another force that has worked to prevent our prayers from being answered. Daniel was a mighty man of God who faithfully served God. He believed he would do what he promised to do. He'd been delivered from the den of lions. He spent the night with those hungry lions, and God had sent an angel to shut their mouths. By the way, if you have elementary kids and diamond kids today, that's what they're learning about. The world's greatest lion tamer at the Bumbling Brothers Bible Circles. But anyway, but this was after that happened. And we're going to go to Daniel chapter 10. In verse 1 through 5, it tells of a time Daniel was praying. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, Daniel mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. So he spent that time praying, fasting, seeking God. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. So here, that 3 weeks later, finally, this angel appears to deliver the message to him. We're going to skip to verse 12 and 13. And then the angel says to him, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day, you sent your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. He was coming immediately. But the prince of the Persian kingdom, that's the enemy, that's demons from hell, resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief angel princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Sometimes there are demonic forces hindering our answers. Just because we have to wait does not mean God has not heard our prayer or that he has not begun to answer our prayers. In Daniel's case, this prince of darkness was stopping this angel from coming with the answer. Once help came to defeat the enemy, the angel could come on his way and deliver the message to Daniel. Yet during this time, did you catch that? Daniel didn't give up, right? He kept praying. He kept seeking God and fasting and looking, what God? You know, makes me wonder, was it his prayers that helped send the additional angel to fight that battle? Satan and his evil forces always want to hinder our prayers. However, as sons and daughters of the King, we are not defeated. God's word tells us just the opposite. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and it dwells in us. But our fight is not an earthly battle, but a spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 reads, "For we live in the world. We do not wage war as the world does." At least we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to jump into that. "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Amen. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We need to take captive those thoughts, those words, so that we can keep them obedient to Christ. Tell it to go. Change what you're thinking about. Do not allow the evil one to let you think you are helpless or alone or there's no hope, because that's wrong. That's a lie from the enemy. You know, I used to laugh at my mom as teenagers, and we'd be getting a stern lecture about something. "Yes, I mean, you are going to be home by this time, and you are going to work on blah, 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 blah," or whatever it was, you know. And she's going on, and all of a sudden the phone would ring, and she'd go, "Hello?" Okay. My kids could also laugh at me doing the same thing, but, you know, sweetly answers the phone in this whole different voice, right? Yes, you can change. You guys are laughing. You knew many of you do that too. But we can change what we're thinking about and bring it into obedience to Christ in that same manner as we go to, "Hello." So what do we do? What steps can we take to overcome the enemy? There are more, but I'm just going to quickly look at five today. The first is to recognize that our conflict is not against flesh and blood, but spiritual forces. Again, like I said, it is not that coworker who's making your life miserable. It's not that other kid at school who's picking on you. It is the evil forces. Ephesians 6:12. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That's who our battle really is. And if we'll use our weapon of prayer, those things suddenly, well, okay, maybe not always suddenly, but they do get better. And maybe it's because our focus changes, that we realize, I'm really not fighting here with Susan. My battle really isn't against her. My battle really is against spiritual forces. And I need to walk in obedience to Christ. I need to take captive those things and change what my thoughts are about her, and see her as the lost person without Christ, and I need to make sure that my testimony reflects Christ in how I deal with her. Another thing we need to do is we need to live before God fervently committed to his truth and righteousness. If we are fervently living for God, we're already on our way to overcome the enemy because we're already seeking God in everything. We're wanting his love. We're wanting what he has for us. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the verse there to remind us of that. The next thing is have faith that Satan's power can be broken in any specific area of his domain and realize, okay, a lot of us believe that, but we need to realize that the believer has powerful spiritual weapons given by God for the destruction of Satan's strongholds. And one of those is prayer. There is more power in us through Christ. That same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. We can tell those things, they have to go. A verse for that is 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Another way to overcome the enemy? Proclaim the gospel of God in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus did. You know, Matthew 4:23, what did he do? He went around, he preached the gospel, he healed the sick, he prayed for those that needed it, he cast out demons. That's what we're supposed to be involved in. All of us. We're all supposed to be proclaiming the gospel. And then the fifth thing is challenge Satan in his power directly by believing in Jesus' name, by using God's word, by praying in the Spirit, by fasting, and in the right circumstances, driving out demons. You know, this month, as we've been having a time of prayer and fasting, fasting is a spiritual weapon. It's a strong spiritual weapon that I don't think we always take serious enough. And I actually went with a different fasting for this month than I usually have. And I've actually used a social media game. And I was like, so instead of playing the game, I'm praying to God. And I'll tell you, I've struggled. I was like, wow, I want to go. Oh, wait, no, I'm fasting now. Because I've had so many physical issues and I wasn't able to do food this month, this time. And I was like, okay, God. So he was like, you know, you really need to give this up. And I was like, okay, sure, not a problem. Until I got into it and I was like, wow, this is really, wow, I spend a lot of time on this game. I didn't think I did. I'm like, God, this has been really good. We've had a lot more time together. But, you know, we have power. We have power in prayer. And we can take these steps to overcome the enemy. Satan is looking for someone to devour. Don't let it be you. Sorry about the pop. You have power through the weapon of prayer. 1 John 4:4 tells us, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You have the power. You have the weapon. You cannot give up. Keep going to God. Keep believing in for that answer. Keep being faithful. God will answer. He might not always answer the way you want, but he will always answer the way that is best. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He always makes it work. for his good. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no. And sometimes it is wait. But he always answers. We have another weapon in prayer, and that is to pray scripture. Pray God's word. You cannot go wrong praying scripture. It's God's word. It brings us into alignment with God's desires. As Tommy Newberry puts it, when we affirm those things in our lives, we are speaking in faith and using meaningful words. It brings us hope and joy and even more faith. But make them personal. So how do we do that? Let's experiment. Psalms 46:1 reads, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. If I'm going to pray that, if I'm going to make that personal, I'm going to say, God, you're my, or God, you're Jill's refuge and strength. You are my ever-present help in trouble. Now, make it personal. Pray it that way. What I use often, Matthew 11:28, which reads, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I pray, Jesus, I'm coming to you weary. I'm carrying this heavy burden, and I give it to you, and I will take on your rest in its place. Wow. It changes so much. There's so many scriptures that we can pray and daily be ready for what God has in store for us. And one of those scriptures that is also a weapon of prayer is known as the armor of God. So we're going to look at Ephesians 6:10-18. So it reads, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, which I've read already today, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because of all of that, now, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You know, the new song today, it had that in the words, not of this world, stand up and fight. I went, yeah, we are. We are not of this world. We do need to stand up and fight, but we need to fight spiritually. Spiritually speaking, we need to dress each day for the battle and stand firm. We do not have to run. The enemy must leave you when you stand up spiritually in prayer, in God's word. You know, I used to pray the armor of God over my children before they even left for school during in the morning. You know, if you think about it, All the armor is forward facing. There's nothing on the backside to protect. And that's because we don't have to flee the enemy. We can stand firm. We have nothing to fear in the spiritual battle. And we need to stand firm. Verse 14, it says, the belt of truth buckled around our waist. And we think, hey, yeah, I have this little belt just around my waist. No, that's not the kind of belt that was. It'd be more like our apron. Okay, so covered down there through the waist to the thigh. It covered some of the vital organs, such as livers and others. So, you know, and I thought, wow, belt of truth. Who is the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus. I'm putting Jesus on. I am putting Jesus on. I'm putting him around my waist. I want him around me and being a part in everything, protecting me, walking with me, showing me the way, the truth, and the life for the day. Verse 14 also has the breastplate of righteousness, covers the top half of our torso, the heart and lungs. How fitting that the breastplate is righteousness, that rightness we can only become and have by accepting Christ as our Savior, our heart, and becoming right with him. Romans 1:17 says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. It is nothing we can do. It is nothing we can earn. It is only by accepting this free gift of salvation by faith that we can be right before and with God. And praying this reminds us that we need to be sure that we are right with God for the day. Confess our sins. Make sure that there is nothing hindering us, protecting our hearts, that he is number one. Verse 15 goes on, our feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So I always think about, okay, God, I'm putting on my shoes now. You know, my shoes of peace. That wherever I go, I'm walking in peace. Wherever my feet touch, I'm sharing your peace. You know, his peace is not like the world's peace. It even says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Look for ways to get along with each other. Look for ways to be the peacemaker. You know, being the very competitive person that I am, I like to win. I haven't always been the one being the peacemaker looking for the way to make peace because I want to win. And yet, if I'm putting on my feet of peace, I need to find ways that we both can win, that we can win-win, and that God's peace is seen and relevant. Take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all. Did you catch that? Not some, not once in a while, but all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Faith, complete belief and trust in Jesus. As believers, our victory has been secured by Christ through his death on the cross and his resurrection. That's secure. Colossians 2:10, and in Christ we have been brought in fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. So none of those fiery darts can harm us when we're holding that shield of faith because Jesus has already conquered it. We need to stand firm. firm in belief that Jesus is going to fight our battles. He is going to meet our needs. He is going to keep his promise of his word to us. You know, too often we think faith is this big mystery. It's believing God will do what he says he will do. And the more you know him, the more you understand him, the easier it is to believe that he will do what he says, that his word is true. Faith does not have to see everything laid out before acting, because we know God already sees the end. Martin Luther King Jr. had this quote, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase." You know, I think of it when our kids were little and we were in the pool and they're standing on the edge and we're like, "Jump, jump, jump to mommy, or jump to daddy." You know, and that first time they're standing there thinking, "I don't know, that looks really deep. Do I have faith that you're really going to catch me? Am I really going to do it?" You know what? Our Heavenly Father always catches us. He always takes care of us. You know, just like we would not drop our child and watch them. There they go, the bottom of the pool. No, we wouldn't do that. I'd hope we wouldn't do that. Even if we did initially, we'd be grabbing them. You know, just like Jesus, he's going to make sure he is faithful. So when he tells us that our shield is to protect us against the flaming arrows, he is going to put out the lies of the enemy for us. You need to believe that he will. Use his word to redirect to what you know is true. Use the testimonies of other believers of what God has done for them to encourage you that he will also be faithful and do it for you. Moving on in the armor of God, helmet of salvation. Cover your mind with the truth of Jesus Christ. Because we are his children, we have the confidence we are saved, and we can exchange those evil thoughts, the lies, the wrong thinking for what is right and true. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You have to renew that mind in prayer, in his word. That's how we renew that mind, changing those thoughts. You can know God's direction for your life each day because you are renewing your mind and spending time with him, reading his word. His word is an offensive weapon. That's what we get to fight with. Verse 16, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take your sword. Take your sword. Take your sword out. You know, prayer is talking with God, but oftentimes it's through his word how I hear back from him. His word is living and active, and he does speak to us. And just like when Jesus was in the desert and he was tempted, how did he overcome Satan? By the word. He knew the word. And that's what we need to use as well. It is a powerful weapon. We need to quote it. We need to memorize it. We need to pray it so that we know how to fight back in the spiritual battle. We also have one other offensive weapon in this, in verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, use your gift daily. Pray in the Spirit. And if you're not, seek that gift, another free gift from God. When we don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. When you're telling Jesus how much you adore him, pray in the Spirit. As you go about your day, pray in the Spirit. Pray with all kinds of prayers and requests, it says. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 actually says, pray continually, or pray without ceasing, if you want to use King James. You know, it's that mindset of always including Jesus in everything you do. Make him part of every conversation, every activity, every reaction, every action. Wow. When we do that, prayer becomes a powerful weapon. Prayer is a vital part of our relationship with Christ. If we could have the worship team come. And I know, Pastor said, yes, if you've accepted Christ, you don't have to. You know, you don't have to make that time to pray. But as he said, you're missing out. You're missing out on a vital part of the relationship, and you're missing out on a vital, vital weapon we have. Christ longs for more time with you. But he's not going to force himself. He wants you to come willingly to spend time with him because you love him. He wants you to discover that at times you have to keep coming and believing, even when we don't see answers. You don't know what else is at work. You need to not give up. If it's for that loved one, if it's for healing, financial need, keep going. Keep asking. We also need to realize that there's power in prayer and praying his word. Find those verses that you need for your situation. Personalize them, pray them. But be ready for daily spiritual battle. And put on the armor of God in prayer. God wants to give you everything you need for the day. By spending the time with him, he will see you through what is coming for that day. Maybe you're here today and you don't have that relationship with Jesus yet. He's here. He's offering that. Free invitation. All we have to do is ask. He'll set us free from our sin, and he'll create us into a new creation. Maybe you're here and you're struggling with a prayer that just doesn't seem to be answered. Do you want to give up? Want to give in? Be patient. Keep believing. Keep going to Jesus. Don't give up. Maybe you've never thought of prayer as a weapon. Maybe you're in a battle and you're going, I just need something more. Because the enemy, he wants to come and steal and kill and destroy. But in Christ, we have life and we have it to the full. Do you need that fullness in your life?